Nikki Carpenter will be fondly remembered by her family, certainly by her three sons. You see, it was April of 2010, and there were tornadoes going through like 10 different counties in Mississippi. And as a tornado approached her house, she took a mattress and she put it over her three young boys, and she lay over the top of it. Well, her house was demolished by the tornado. Her three sons did survive, but poor Nikki, the 30-year-old mother, perished. She'll be fondly remembered, though, for that sacrificial gift as she saved her sons' lives, but yet gave up her own. You know, next to God's love for us, a mother's love, I think, is second in line. A mother's love for her children. And certainly Nikki showed that love for her children. And she will be fondly remembered for a long time for that great act of love. But you know, eventually, and it may take several generations, eventually that act of love will be forgotten. But there was one act in the Bible done by a woman who it will be remembered wherever the gospel is preached. She will be mentioned for this act of love. You see, Mark 14, verse 9, and Matthew 26, verse 13 says, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Mark 14 and Matthew 26, 13 are parallel verses. They say the same thing, and they're talking about the same event. But whatever this act was done by this person, it will be remembered as long as wherever the gospel is preached, she will be remembered. So who's it talking about? Who is this lady that the Bible is mentioning here in Mark and in Matthew? Well, must be one of the great ladies, maybe of the Old Testament. Maybe it's talking about Deborah, you know, the female judge. She was certainly a wonderful woman of God. Is it talking about Deborah? No, it's not speaking about Deborah. Well, perhaps maybe Hannah. I mean, Hannah kept her promise of giving up her son, Samuel, to Eli the priest, dedicating that boy to God. She kept her promise. What a great woman of God Hannah was. So is this talking about Hannah? No, it's not talking about Hannah. Oh, I know. That reading from 1 Kings chapter 17. That poor woman at Zarephath. That's who this has to be talking about. I mean, that lady, that widow, who was gathering up sticks in order for her to light a fire and cook basically her last meal. She only had enough food to feed herself and her son one last time. And then I guess they would starve to death. But oh, what great trust, what great faith this lady had, this widow had in God and in the man of God, Elijah, as she gives some water to Elijah and makes him a cake. She obeys God. She obeys what the prophet of God, Elijah, had said. And she even gives him some of the food that she has. She prepares it for him. Oh, what great faith. What great trust this widow had. Oh, my goodness. She is a wonderful woman of faith. So this, the Bible must be talking about her. But it's not. It's not talking about her. Well, maybe it's one of the great guys in the New Testament. You know, Peter, as he walked on the water, must be talking about that event. No. Paul, the great missionary, no. It says her. It's talking about a lady. And that lady, in case you haven't figured it out yet, is Mary. Mary. Now, there's several Marys in the Bible. It's not talking here about Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's not talking about Mary from Magdalene, Mary Magdalene, no. It's talking about Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus. You see in John chapter 12 there, as as Jesus was there reclining at the table with Lazarus, there Mary comes and pours this pound of perfume, this expensive perfume she puts on Jesus's feet. Well, just to get a little context of what was happening, in John chapter 11, you may or may not know what happened then. In John 11, Jesus was away from Bethany, and his friend Lazarus passes away. He dies. And Jesus is a little slow in coming to Bethany. In fact, by the time he makes it to Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and he's stinking to high heaven. Okay, he's starting to smell decay already because Jesus took so long in coming. There's 4 days now. But Jesus calls out to Lazarus, come out. And Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. And now in John chapter 12, the religious leaders have had enough. There's a transition from John chapter 11 to John chapter 12. From now on, in John chapter 12, they're out to kill Jesus. They want to get rid of this guy. He's getting too popular. And oh, by the way, let's get rid of the evidence too. Let's get rid of Lazarus also. He's claiming Jesus raised him from the dead. Oh no, if we put him to death, he won't be able to tell that story anymore. So the rest of the gospel up until Jesus' death is about those 6 days where the religious leaders are out to kill Jesus. He has a death warrant for himself, and there's a death warrant out for Lazarus as well. So Mary puts this large amount of expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. But why would that be remembered? Why will this generous gift-giving act done by Mary, what's so special about it? Why should it be remembered wherever the gospel is preached? Why? Well, perhaps we could look at it and say, well, look at the cost. Look at the huge amount of cost that perfume cost. Judas, that money miser, who wasn't concerned about the poor, he just wanted to get money to line his own pockets. Judas tells us that, boy, that perfume costs about 300 denarii. And to put that into today's language, 300 denarii would be equal to about 1 year's worth of wages. Let that sink in for just a second. 1 year worth of wages was the cost of that perfume that Mary poured on the feet of Jesus. Wow, what great cost. Today's dollars. In 2016, at least, the average income household in Chandler was about $76,000. $76,000 poured onto the feet of Jesus. Wow, that's expensive. That's a great cost. Well, that's got to be the reason why this is going to be remembered. I mean, Mary gives up a year's wages poured out on Jesus' feet. But no, I don't think that's the reason. That's not the reason this is going to be remembered. Well, perhaps it's because, you know, Mary does a lot of unusual things with this act. She goes against culture. She goes against the society at that time. Will it be remembered because she does all these unusual things? For example, it says that she used her hair onto Jesus' feet with the perfume to wipe it up. She had to unloose her hair. That wasn't done in the presence of a man in first century Palestine. A woman would do that in the privacy of her own home, in her own room, not in front of a gentleman, not in front of a man, certainly. It would be done in private. An unusual act by Mary. Going against culture, going against the society at that time. And we read also that Mary gave it all. All $76,000 put on the feet of Jesus. She held nothing back. Boy, what an act of generosity. Going against society, though, and pouring it all there, all of it, that full pound, I don't think I would do it. If I'm feeling very generous, maybe I would say, oh, you know, let's take half a pound. I mean, that's $38,000. Or maybe a quarter, right? $19,000. Let's do $19,000 worth. Hey, look at me. A quarter of a pound of this expensive perfume poured on the feet of Jesus. Wow, look at me. I'm really generous, ain't I? Mary gave it all. All $76,000 poured there on the feet of Jesus. Held nothing back in that great gift, generosity of Mary. And then it says she wiped up the perfume. She wiped it up by putting her hair on Jesus' feet. She had to touch Jesus' feet. Again, that's going against society. That's going against the norm of that day. For a woman to touch the feet of a man, that just was not done. And then to put perfume on the feet, that wasn't done either. If anointment would be put on somebody, it would be put on a king. It would only be put on a king and not at their feet. It would be put on their head as an anointment. Mary puts it on the feet of Jesus. The only person who would receive perfume on their feet is a dead person. Somebody who has died, then they would have their bodies anointed, put perfume on them. In fact, we know, though, that Jesus never did have his dead body anointed. As the women were coming to the tomb on that first Easter Sunday morning, he had already risen. So here she is, pouring out the perfume on Jesus' feet, doing lots of things that are unusual, doing things that are against the culture, against society. So that's got to be the reason. That has to be the reason why this is going to be remembered. But I would say, no, it's not. Jesus gives us a hint as to why this is going to be remembered. In John chapter 12, then, verse 7 and 8, he says, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." Mary realized who and what Jesus was about. She realizes that he was going to go and give up his life for the sins of the whole world. She knew that in 6 days he was going to be killed. Mary, unlike the disciples, recognized Jesus' purpose and who he really truly was. She recognized that he was the Lamb of God. Back earlier in John's Gospel, in chapter 1, verse 29, as Jesus is walking by, John the Baptist says, "Hey, look at there. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Mary knew who Jesus was. That she recognized that he was the Lamb of God, the one who was going to sacrifice himself for the sins of the whole world. She realized that. And for that, she will be remembered. Yes, Nikki Carpenter will be fondly remembered by her family, but it will soon be forgotten about in a few generations. And Mary, the great cost that she gave that perfume, oh yes, it was great cost, but that's not why she's going to be remembered. The unusual events that she did, that's not the reason why she's going to be remembered. Mary's great gift giving will always be remembered because she knew and she pointed to the ultimate giver, the ultimate gift giver, Jesus himself. She knew who he was, and she did a wonderful act of giving, of showing Jesus' main purpose. He's the ultimate gift giver. Jesus is the one who gives us all that we have. All good gifts come from him, both materially and spiritually. Materially, we can look around and see all the blessings that God has given to us. And ultimately, we know where they come from. They come from the Lord. Jesus is the ultimate gift giver. But he not only gives us the material blessings, he gives us spiritual blessings too. Our faith is a gift from God. The forgiveness and the grace that we have is a gift from the ultimate gift giver, Jesus himself. And the fact that we're sinners, but yet forgiven by Christ, forgiven by his blood that he shed on the cross for us, that is the ultimate gift that Jesus has given to us. And so moms and all women, thank you for giving. Thank you for being such great givers. As you give of your time, you give tirelessly of your efforts. But moms and dads and aunts and uncles, grandmas, grandpas, everybody here this morning, the best gift that we can give to anybody is to point them to the ultimate gift giver, and that's Jesus himself, the one who ultimately gave up his life for us. He gave it up. Nobody took his life from us, from him. He says, I commit my spirit. I give it up. He gave up his life for us. So now we have everlasting life. And so the best gift we can give anybody is to point them to him, point them to Jesus himself, because their eternity hinges on that. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus who went to the cross and paid that price. He is the Lamb of God. And as Mary recognized who he was, Lord, we too help us to recognize and to point others to you, the ultimate gift giver, the one who went to the cross for all our sins. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.